Welcome to Too Many Tabs, the only podcast where a husband and wife lovingly, longingly, desperately sit across from each other at a desk in an office, and they tell each other about all the information that they've learned through the week on a specific topic. How have they learned it from that information? From the many tabs they've opened on their computer, in their library, and across their lives.
Yeah.
This is the story of Too Many Tabs. This is Mrs. Pearlmania. I'm Mr. Pearlmania. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Happy to be here.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.
I was incredibly aggressive.
It was incredibly aggressive because that's what we have to do.
I feel like you were dancing at me.
I was dancing through that intro because I cannot tell our listeners how many takes that was.
It took a couple times.
It was quite a few. And in fact,
we're having a bit of a morning.
It's a time. There may or may not be a baby currently strapped to your chest
there
right
is,
now.
Of course.
We may not have been trying this one. This would be our heaviest edit.
Yeah.
In the history of this podcast.
It's true. It's been a rough morning.
It's been a weird morning.
That's not true because it started off really calm and quiet.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, I made us delicious bagels with pastrami smoked salmon and fresh squeezed orange juice. Like, we had, like, a moment. And then as soon as I finished that glass of orange juice.
Yeah.
The world exploded in baby world.
Yeah, the baby
and now
world,
we're here.
Baby world exploded. It started raining so hard that our front gutter overflowed again. And then, like, I was told that there was a package on the way. And I'm like, how's the delivery guy going to come through the waterfall in the front of the house? So it's just a whole deal.
It's been a deal. It's been a really rough little morning.
But Mrs. P,
yeah?
There are some things that we'd like to talk about right now, which are just some fun announcements.
I love an announcement.
All right. So first thing, I just want to remind everybody, I do have my three shows in Philly.
Yeah.
And they are on April 12th and April 13th. The link is in the show notes.
I heard the early shows are selling out.
They are. The early shows for those are selling out. The later show, if it's going to be available, I'm going to tell you guys right now, the late Saturday show is going to be fucking weird.
It's going to be chaotic.
Okay? Because the one
You're going to be so not well rested.
None.
You're going to be a loose cannon, to say the best.
Yeah, and on top of that, what I discovered recently from doing an open mic is I'm fine on stage.
Yeah.
I have jokes. I have material. What I'm not fine with is, I don't know if you know this, I haven't drank much alcohol. So I take like a half a beer and I'm just like, let's fucking go. You want to hear my thoughts?
Yeah, it's a problem.
So it's a thing. So that late show I might be a little loose on.
Yeah, no, don't tell them. They're going to show up and record what you say.
Don't record. I will tell the security to beat you up.
No, stop
what?
Threatening them with violence.
Okay.
We'll get them to sign NDAs when they walk in the door. Come on.
And I won't commit any crimes on camera and then you can't do the NDA.
No crimes.
But as we announced on the prior episodes about this show is a workout show for the comedy tour that is coming up, and I'm going to be making announcements of the dates and of links and all that different stuff for all of our fans on our Patreon.
Yep.
patreon.com/pearlmania500. I will be making that announcement later this week when I finally have the official links. Once I have the official links, I'm going to buy the airline tickets, and then it's all real, and then I will announce it, and then I will hope people will show up.
And then you will abandon your son.
Yes, on the what we're now calling the Soup for My Family tour.
I like that the name keeps changing.
Well, somebody mentioned it in the comments, and I really, one of the Patreons mentioned, like, Soup for My Family tour is much better. I'm like, it is much better.
I have to say something, is that the comments from our Patreons are incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. It's one of my favorite things, opening the Patreon to read the comments. Like, and I read a lot of comments. I have to read a lot through Alex's comments on social media and to find like the little ones that he responds to and stuff like that. Like, but when I read the Patreon comments, I'm like, ah, good people.
From the book one, just to drag it out, from the book one, when somebody mentioned like, why wasn't the dead husband in the base? Why wasn't he a ghost?
We still can't stop talking about that comment.
It's still upsetting.
Because number one, how did we not think of it? But then once you think about how Hal wasn't a ghost, it destroys the entire book.
It does.
Oh my God, incredible.
Yeah. But beyond that, those announcements are going to come. They're going to be patreon.com/pearlmania500. You also type in pearlmania500.net, and that'll take you right to the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
But on that Patreon,
yep,
we are going to be listing our first poll of this season 2.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to put a poll up for one of my upcoming book club episodes. Mm-hmm. So I found a few books that I'm pretty interested in, but I want to allow our Patreons to decide what direction we're going to go in. It's not going to be next month's book because I need some time to schedule in book reading. But yeah, so that will be coming up next week. You'll see the poll listed. I'm going to try to get little descriptions together without, you know, deep diving too much. And then everybody can vote on what book they would like to hear an episode of. Which, again, what book do you want to put Alex through? That's really... Speaking of, we're almost at our goal.
We're almost at our goal of 750 Patreons, mm-hmm. To subscribe, active subscribers, which will force me to read the second Horny Fairy book. Yep, we're so Akatar. Close. We're very, very close.
Yeah.
And
use your hard-earned money if you want to. No pressure. But you can use your hard-earned money to bully Alex into reading a book.
Yeah.
That's fun.
This is starting to feel like an NPR sale.
Oh,
you will not get a tote bag.
I was just about to say, do we get a tote bag?
Yeah.
I wish.
But what I will say...
I love a tote bag.
What I will say, though, is I have been getting messages from returning Patreons and those of you guys who are been messaging, hey, we just rejoined. Please let us know so you can get your shout out again at the end of the episode, because people who are coming back under the same account, it doesn't alert me that you're new. Once we click off that benefit, the benefit's been clicked off. I have no way of fixing that through Patreon. So the ones who have been messaging me like, hey, I rejoined because I want you to read that horny fairy book and hear how they ruin soup on this rainy day. That has been great, but if you have to message us, let us know that you're back. So with that, Mrs. P, we have an episode here, and you tell me that there's going to be something different about this episode.
Oh, it's going to be different.
So I have a question. We have a button that I haven't hit in a very long time.
Don't even think about that button. We don't need it.
I can hit the button?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you can hit it for sure.
I can hit this button right here.
Yeah.
Because you told me that for once, we aren't covering a total bag of shit.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a good person.
Yep.
And that's our no-Nazi guarantee.
Yeah, for our new listeners, we had to make a button.
Yeah.
We've done so many episodes on people where just Nazis come up.
Yeah.
And we needed to make a warning. But the thing is, there are episodes where there are no Nazis, and that's important.
Yeah.
And this episode, no Nazis.
No Nazis. And in fact, you were telling me downstairs, it's about a health food person who is also highly religious.
Yeah.
So the fact, and in the late 20th century.
Yeah.
So the fact that no Nazis show up in this story, I'm here for it. I'm ready for it. Mrs. P, are you ready to open this new tab?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. When we come back, we're going to learn the story of...
Bob Moore.
Bob Moore?
Yeah, Bob Moore.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We're back.
All right. Who is Bob Moore?
Bob's Red Mill. The owner, his name is Bob Moore.
Oh.
So a few episodes back, I had let you know that I was really sad because the owner of Bob's Red Mill, Bob Moore, had passed away.
Yeah.
And I said maybe I would do an episode on him.
Yeah.
Because we have a long, I have a long history with Bob's Red Mill's flowers.
Yes. Because you have celiac disease. Mm-hmm. And when we first started dating, we would go and it was very difficult to ever find stuff for you. Yeah. Because you have to have a gluten-free
well
diet.
Well over a decade ago. Back before rich Caucasian women made it a whole like
lifestyle
diet, it was really difficult to be gluten-free. But then it became a fad.
Yeah.
And now everything's gluten-free and I love it. Well, and one day that'll go away. So I'm just living like a pig in shit now while I can.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is like I even think back to our honeymoon back in 2015 when we flew back and like you would request a gluten-free meal and they'd screwed it up and they handed you a rice cake.
With a tab of butter.
With a tab of butter. And that was for a 7-hour flight.
Yeah.
And you were just sitting there with your one lone rice cake. And they were like, why didn't you bring your own food? You're like, because I was in a fucking airport.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
We were flying back.
I did email you guys.
Yeah. It was a whole thing.
So, yeah. So, when we first started dating.
Yep.
Whenever we'd go grocery shopping, I'd always have to go to the natural food aisle.
And I was always like, who, what?
He's no. Like, because there's always been that aisle in grocery stores.
And it's always
where
weird.
The natural, the Amy's Kitchen's at. The Amy, but listen, don't you buy Amy's Kitchen. Don't you buy Amy's Kitchen.
Yeah, because she's a scab. Yeah.
Union Buster, that one.
Yeah.
We don't buy Amy's
also,
Kitchen.
Also, her food tastes like farts.
It does. Yep. Also that.
Yeah.
So going in the natural food
unless
section.
Unless she's a sponsor of the show, in which case her food tastes like
best burritos around. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
No, she's awful.
Okay, so I've been eating Bob's Red Mills a long time. And so I was sad to hear he passed away because for me, that was the first food I could eat was like, oh, this is the only person that's making the thing that I can eat that's safe.
Yeah. Bob was like, I need to look out for these celiac freaks.
Yeah. So I want to tell you about Bob's Red Mill today.
Okay. So you're going to tell me, and specifically Bob Moore.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his wife, Charlie.
His wife, Charlie Moore.
Charlie Moore.
Okay.
So here's the thing. You said it in the little intro there is usually what we say on these episodes, we're like, oh, it's someone that's in the health and health food. And then maybe they're really into religion.
And they're like,
and whenever those two circles of the Venn diagram collide, you end up in an episode of Too Many Tabs.
Yep.
Maybe you've started a cult.
Yeah.
Maybe you're into enemas all of a sudden.
Way too
maybe
much.
Our boy Fishbein has to show up.
He has to.
Because quackery begins.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, none of that is going to happen.
Okay.
Bob Moore and Charlie Moore are good people. And it was incredible to go on a deep dive of just good people.
Wow.
You know, it's the first time ever where I was like, was going through the links. I read a library book. I listened to another podcast about it,
yeah.
Which I don't usually do. But I was so intrigued. I was like, I got to find out everything because this person and his wife and family are just good people.
It's also one of those things too where we're so used to them being bags of shit that it's more shocking.
It was shocking the whole time.
It's shocking to find a good
person.
So
wait, let me tell you. We're going to start in 1955.
Okay.
Bob and Charlie are married.
Okay.
They already have 3 sons, okay? And Bob decides with his wife that they're going to invest in buying a gas station.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
So it's 1955. They already have 3 kids.
Yeah.
They're already adults.
Yep.
Do we know when he's born?
I didn't do any of that.
You didn't do any of that. You just started at gas station.
Here's what I did. I looked up some of his, like, all that. But it's just all just so generic. Like, I was like, you know what? We got
to
focus on what's important.
No, I know. I just
Bob's
like
Red Mill.
I just like to know an age of how old they are.
I think he's like 30-something here.
Okay. So he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
He owns a gas station.
So I need to talk about this gas station.
Okay.
So he and Charlie decide they're going to buy a mobile gas station. They're living in Los Angeles at the time.
Okay. So when you say mobile.
Mobile, like the brand mobile.
Oh, okay. So back before Exxon Mobil was, it was just mobile. Those two separate companies. There was Exxon and there was mobile. They came together.
Yeah. And so
okay.
He was reading a newspaper and saw an ad for an opportunity to franchise a mobile gas station.
Oh, okay.
Guess how much it cost?
I'll
tell you, it was $6,000.
$6,000?
That's all it costs to franchise a gas station in Los Angeles in 1955.
In car sense heavy Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Expanding 1950s Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Like printing money, own a gas station, Los Angeles?
Exactly. $6,000.
Oh my God. Have you seen the TikToks? There's like this young guy who goes to like Costco and Home Depots and he walks up to old people and asks them how much their first house costs.
No, I haven't seen those.
You haven't seen them?
No.
It's been driving people insane.
How much are the houses?
Well, so he'll like walk up. They'll be like, oh, you know, my first house was like, you know, $80,000. But it was 1987 and the interest rate was high.
Oh,
and like, fuck
shut
off.
Up.
But then they got to this one old lady and she was like, my first house was $16,000. And the kid like almost dropped his phone. Because he's like, what? Because like that, what?
Incredible.
$16,000. And then she acted like, me. And then she walked away. I was like, the whole world was handed to you.
Yeah, and she was like, I'm going to go buy bulk maple syrup.
And now I'm going to go vote against your interests.
I like pulling up ladders behind me. That's how I throw out my back.
But don't worry, I'll tell you, both sides are the same as I do it, as I vote and I convince you not to.
Fun, fun, fun. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, back to Los Angeles, 1955.
Okay. Yep.
Bob and Charlie decide they're going to leave L.A.
Oh, why? I love L.A. by Randy Newman.
They're going to leave because the smog is so bad. So the smog is terrible and they're like, we got to get out of here with the kids.
So we should probably explain LA smog to the younger viewers who don't know.
Yeah.
If you didn't grow up watching like especially like 1950s and 60s cartoons that always made fun of LA smog, smog is a combination of smoke and fog that come together. In LA, it was particularly bad before the invention of the catalytic converter. The catalytic converter is a part in cars that is often stolen. It's the most expensive part of a lot of vehicles that you can then trade in for scrap.
Yep.
It was a big issue over the last 2 years. Catalytic converters, though, are the reason why the skies over LA are more clear.
Yeah.
Back in the day, every day, they would have this dome of dark, smoky clouds.
Filled with lead.
That would fill, yeah, because of leaded gasoline that would sit over the city. And if you go and look at, you can look up Google like images of LA smog from like the 60s, especially until they had these things, there would be people sitting on the Hollywood Hills just looking at like you could not see the city.
Yeah.
It was black.
Gross.
And it was just gross sky and all this different stuff. So the fact that he owned a leaded gas station, it was like, we can't be around
we
this
get
shit
out
anymore.
Of here. So anyway, he took his leaded gas station idea.
Yeah.
No, so he and Charlie decide to move 300 miles north of LA. To a place called Mammoth Lakes. It's a small resort town in the mountains.
Okay.
And they're going to open another gas station there, of course.
Okay.
And this time they open a Chevron. But this gas station is not as successful at all because apparently there was already a gas station in town and had been there for years. So everybody just went there.
Gotcha.
And they were like the new people in town. So nobody went to their gas station.
Yeah, you're trying to put Chuck out of business here, you carpetbagger.
We love Chuck. So yeah.
Chuck, 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 Chuck.
Everybody. Then apparently there was also a huge blizzard snowstorm.
Okay.
And 14 feet of snow hit the area and actually devastated their business. This is like the thing that took it out.
14 feet of snow? What are they in, Donner Pass?
I don't know.
We're
going to eat each other.
What's it called? Mammoth Lake?
Mammoth Lakes. Okay. Resort town. But yeah, so 14 feet of snowfall. There was some damage to the business itself, and then also with no tourists coming in for that whole time, they just lost their entire investment in there, and they had to end up moving.
All $8,000.
Yeah. So from 1955 to 1961, Bob worked as a manager at a Firestone tires company, still staying in the car business, getting away from gasoline, though.
Yeah.
He was saving up money the whole time because he and Charlie decided they wanted to buy a farm because they were tired of this life. They wanted to go start a farm.
That probably cost $10,000.
Yeah. So they end up saving up some money and they buy a 5-acre goat farm where he and Charlie raise their three sons and they're growing a vegetable garden. They get chickens. They do the whole thing.
So they're just like Northern California Instagram influencers before the gram existed.
Exactly.
Are they wearing structured hats and standing in front of sunflowers?
And they have like a $30,000 oven in their house?
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're not ballerina farms.
Okay.
They're actually doing the thing. They're selling eggs and milk. They're making like, they're selling their milk to be made into goat milk soap. Like it's the whole, they're just very of
I'm
that.
Sorry. Wait, back up. Did you say goat milk soap?
Oh yeah, that's like a big thing.
What?
You don't know? I think I have goat milk soap in this house.
What are you talking about? You
so, okay.
Stop saying things like they're real.
They are. Okay.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you right now, people use goat's milk to make soap.
How?
Because it's really good for your skin because milk is high in lactic acid, which is like lactic acid, which actually exfoliates your skin very gently. So it gets rid of your dead skin very gently.
Okay.
So goat's milk has a high content of fat and lactic acid, so it's really good for your skin. It makes it really soft.
Okay. I knew you needed the fat. I just didn't think you could use goat's milk for any of that.
cheese, soap, some other stuff, I'm sure.
No, I know about goat's cheese, goat's milk cheese. Like, yeah. I like goat cheese. That stuff's banging.
I'm pretty sure you've probably washed your body with goat's milk body wash.
I don't
this
read
house
the labels.
Never, never thought.
I don't read what it is. I just read the scent. What is this? Wild cherry blossoms? Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Gimme, gimme, num, num, num.
Yeah.
So, okay, so
this feels expensive. I'm going to steal it.
Oh, my God.
That's what I do.
That's the, oh my God.
That's,
I know.
That's how my hair became so beautiful.
I know. So I had to chop off all my hair because we needed to afford all of your hair care.
Yeah. It's that, what's that? The gifts of the magi.
Yeah.
We just hand each other brushes.
So during this time, their farm life moment, their farm life era, if you will, Charlie gets really into baking whole grain breads.
Like a trad wife.
Yeah, trad wife energy. Charlie is not a trad wife, though.
She's not?
No.
Okay.
Bob and Charlie really get into health food. So Bob and Charlie have always been healthy people. Like, they want to get rid of LA because of Snog. They're health conscious. But Bob's father passes away and it changed him as a person. He really wanted to focus on living a healthier life. Also, in the late 60s and 70s, there's a huge wave of health food. Like, health food becomes a whole thing.
We've covered that in other episodes. Yeah.
So they start kind of, I don't want to say obsession, but like, it becomes the thing that they're focused on, which is health.
It becomes their personality.
Yeah. Like CrossFit.
Yeah.
So Bob ends up, they end up deciding they're going to sell the farm.
Okay.
And they're going to move to Redding, California, because Bob was offered a really good job managing a JCPenney auto center. I don't know. That's just true.
I don't know if that's just true.
I was just like, it's such a weird, we left our goat farm to go to JCPenney's.
Well, it's also like, if you said Sears Auto Center, I'd be like, okay, I remember those existing. Yeah. I don't ever remember living at a time when JCPenney auto centers were a thing.
No.
But I guess they were.
I guess so.
I just always think of the fact that, you know, we got our pictures taken at a JCPenney.
I know. I can't wait to go back.
And yeah, well, we have to find one that's open.
Oh.
So many of them closed, but we went to a JCPenney studio.
I wish the photo studios would open inside of Kohl's. Like, Kohl's put Sephora in there, but they really should have put it at JCPenney photo place.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with ours, though, is we went because we got a Groupon.
Yeah.
And we went and we got our pictures taken. Mm-hmm. We had them
very incredible,
very early 90s style where they're really blended together. Yeah. A lot of choices were made.
Yeah.
And we used the Groupon and I came in to go pick them up. Mm-hmm. And the next day they shut down the mall and they tore the mall down the next day.
Doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
So that was in 1966. So he's working in JCPenney.
Yep.
They're, you know, living their lives, raising their kids.
Yep.
And in those 2 years, Bob is, you know, he's in this, Bob's the kind of person who wants to be doing something for himself. Like, he liked starting his own business.
Yeah.
He doesn't really love working at JCPenney. He's the kind of person that wants to be independent, right?
I think that you just said the truest statement of all time.
What?
Just that somebody doesn't love working at JCPenney. Yes. No one's ever woken up and been like,
I fucking love working at JCPenney.
Motherfucker, have you seen these Levi jeans, motherfucker?
I think they're Lee jeans.
Even better. Give it to me at Acid Wash, please.
So Bob being like kind of open to like learning new things. And he's just one of those people that's like always open to trying new stuff, if you will. In 1968, Bob is at his local library. Let's shout out. Give me an air horn for libraries. Let's go. He's at the library, babe. He's got his library card. He's about to check out a book. That book is John Goff's Mill. I don't know. That's the book he checked out.
John Goff's Mill?
So apparently this book, he cites this book as a life-changing event when he picked up this book and read it.
Okay.
So again, libraries can change your life.
Get your library card today.
Bam, 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 bam. So this book, John Goff's Mill, is about a guy named John Goff who was an archaeologist by trade. And someone in his family passed away and they left him their family's ancestral mill, like to ground wheat.
Okay.
And he, as an archaeologist, didn't know what to fucking do with that.
Yeah.
So he also, as an archaeologist, started to really dig into the history of mills. And so this whole book is about his exploration into how mills work. How do you build it? How do you fix it? How do you get the most out of it? And Bob is incredibly inspired by this book.
Okay.
Okay. So this book is like, he's reading it and he's like, like that little ADHD thing where you get that little obsession and you're like, yeah, this is my new hobby. I'm going to buy everything that has to do with this hobby. Yeah.
And then 6 months from now, I'm going to put it in a closet. And 5 years from now, I'm going to be upset when I see how much I spent on this.
Yeah.
You're describing my Warhammer 40K orc army right now. $800 later. The 2019, man. Listen, when the pandemic hit, I was like, I'm going to paint so many orcs. I think I painted 4.
Yeah.
Real quick, though, what you're saying about the archaeologists, that was around a time, especially post-World War II, archaeologists started to realize as modernity was coming in, as modern times were coming
in. Reject modernity.
We were losing.
Embrace tradition.
Stop being a trad wife for a minute, okay? Don't you dare cradle my son's head while saying that garbage. As modern times were coming in, though, we were losing, you know, obviously folklore, but we were losing all these different things. And they realized this had happened throughout history. And especially when it comes to things like a mill, the concentration of mills like grain mills or sawmills or any of this stuff has not been of, hey, we want to keep this the traditional way and this is the way we've always done it. It's always been, how can I make this a little bit more efficient? Every year I want it a little bit more efficient. I want to hire one less person. I want to be able to process more, you know, 1 ton more grain, whatever it is. And it's to the point where, like, I was recently reading, have you ever heard of like fire spit dogs? I don't know the exact term for it. There was a type of dog that was bred specifically to run on a little wheel inside of medieval homes. Because it turned the spit roast over the fire.
Oh, my God.
And it would keep a certain pace. And they look like wiener dogs. Like, they look like a dachshund kind of thing, but with, like, extra hair. But eventually, we invented ovens.
Yeah.
And we didn't need them anymore.
We put the dogs out of work?
We put the dogs out of work, and the dog is now, that breed is extinct.
Oh, no.
But I read a whole thing about it the other day. I was like, what? Here's the thing. The dogs were so common, barely anyone wrote about them.
Yeah.
So imagine a thing that's fucking everywhere, and then one day it just stops on a dime. You know, it's very similar to that. I was thinking of a couple
landline phones,
perfect example. Payphones used to be fucking everywhere.
Oh, no.
But now suddenly there aren't. So I mean, like, we do have art and we do have works, you know, books and things like that mention payphones.
You have elder millennials that remember making calls with calling cards.
Yep.
That you had to have to prepaid. Use a prepaid calling cards.
Prepaid calling. I remember hitting a 1-800-COLLECT and then quickly saying the message and then it connecting to somebody's house.
Yep.
Or using *69. There's so many things with phones.
So anyway, let's get back on topic.
Oh yeah, Bob's from Bob's Red Mill.
So I also did a little side quest into mills. I didn't go too far into mills, but the interesting thing, kind of what you were saying, is that about the flour industry moving forward, you know, hashtag capitalism.
Yeah.
Is stone grinding was almost completely abandoned by the flour industry once they realized they could grind with steel. And so steel grinding was more efficient. It might not be better, but it is quicker and they can hire less people, just like you said.
Yep.
But stone grinding, specifically using quartz millstones, operates at a lower temperature and it blends the germ, oil, and bran in a very specific way that steel doesn't. So some people that are into health feel that this is like a healthier type of grain, right? I tried to look into it. It's hard to find any like solid proof that it's better for you. But to me, my logic brain is just like, I'm sure that when things are not cooked at high temperatures and you're getting the oil and the bran and the germ, it's probably better for you.
Yep.
So I'm not going to get too far into that. But I as someone who eats a lot of Bob's Red Mill grains, it's like, I'm like, yeah, they're probably better for you. Anyway, like I said, Bob immerses himself in the ancient art of stone milling at this point. Okay?
Gotcha.
This is his new thing. He's researching historic mills, and he starts contacting dozens of people and companies in his quest to now locate millstones and other flour-making equipment.
Oh, wow.
So he's like, I want to do this. This is his thing he wants to do now.
Oh, okay. So he's going deeper than just painting orcs.
Yeah. He's buying huge quartz millstones.
Okay.
With his JCPenney money.
Oh, my God. They had it so easy. they just had it so easy back. Like, recently, I was debating whether or not to order food, and I just looked at the delivery fee for us, and I was like, I'll just cook at home.
Little microwave meal time.
Yeah.
So he discovered there were still plenty of mills in existence. They just weren't being used. Basically, there were mills, but they were all being treated like museums.
Yeah.
So you could go visit them and like, look at the old way we used to live.
Yeah,
right?
We have some around here. And yeah. Like all over Pennsylvania, all over New England.
So the good news is he's very persistent and he has great people skills and he's able to like talk to so many people about his new quest that he meets people that are willing to help him and he finds traditional quartz millstones in Fayetteville, North Carolina in a defunct mill and he buys them.
Okay.
And he's like, I'm going to open a mill. So in 1974, Bob opens Moore's Flour Mill in Redding, California, with Charlie and their two sons. So two of the sons and the mom and dad in 1974 opened this mill.
Where's the third son?
I don't know. And I went looking. I tried to figure out where the third son went. I was like, well, why is one missing? What happened? Yeah. I really think he just got married and was like, I don't want to be in the flour business.
Yeah, I don't want to do... Do you want to do ancient milling?
Dad, with your hobbies.
Dad, just work at JCPenney. It's fine. Dad. There's always money in JCPenney. It'll never go under.
I just picture that like, okay, so it's 1974.
Yeah.
There's only two ways this... I am assuming older. It's always the first, the oldest son.
Yeah.
The older son is either going to become a hippie and he's just traveling around like Woodstocking and vibing.
Yeah.
Or he's like on the direct line to like New York yuppie 80s cocaine. Like there's no... In 1974, you're 20-some years old. There's only two paths.
The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon.
So Moore's Flour Mill in Redding, California is really successful.
Okay, good.
They're doing great. The locals love it. They're like, what? We have fresh grains, access to all this flour. And Bob doesn't just do wheat flour. Bob, again, because he's become so obsessed with like all the technique and the information that he's learning, that he wants to make red flour, which is like red wheat flour is actually higher in protein.
Okay.
And so then he gets really into different types of grains. And he's like, you know, there's like 15 ways that they can mill corn.
Yeah.
And like each way you put it through the mill, you can make corn bread, you can make corn flour, you can make masa. Like, and so he's getting into like the technique of every different type of grain.
Which is really interesting because that is like the 70s especially is around a time when you have the corporatization and like the, there's a word I'm looking for here. Like when you McDonald'sify things.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
When you just start really getting into like, oh no, we're making... We're just, everything's the same. It's like, what do you need? A new flour? We got white wheat flour right here. And Bob's over in the corner like, I could do that with corn.
I'm going to make 16 different types of flour.
Yeah, but it's the same idea. You know what it is? It's like microbreweries.
Yeah.
Right? There was a while there from the 70s, even through the 2000s, where we'd really concentrated on just trying to make like, everyone just wanted to taste like Bud Light. Everyone just wanted to taste like Budweiser, Miller Lite, all of them. And then microbreweries were like, no, we can make, you can have a very specific down to the thing you your exact palate.
Yeah. You like IPAs? Have we got so many IPAs for you? Oh, my God. Have we?
Listen, you don't have a personality? Come to IPAs.
So hear me out. This mill is so successful that Bob and his wife decide they're going to retire. They're just retiring.
They're retiring?
Yeah.
This is 1978, though.
Yep. 1974.
1974.
And they're retiring.
Okay, but you just said he died recently. It's 2024, and this company's still running.
Well... They've retired.
How they retire?
Do you want to take a little break?
Okay. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, you'll tell me about their retirement 50 years ago.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. ¶¶
We have returned.
Okay, so Bob retired.
Okay, Bob retires.
And by that I mean that, so Bob received some divine inspiration.
Okay.
Okay, so Bob decides that he wants to go to seminary school.
All right, in 1974. The middle of,
like, okay, he got obsessed with mills.
Okay.
He travels all over America to find mill equipment, opens a mill, it's successful, he makes lots of money, well, a decent amount of money, a living wage type of stuff, and then he just decides that he needs to seek a deeper understanding of his religion, and he decides he wants to learn how to read the Bible in multiple languages, specifically Hebrew, as it was written.
Okay.
So he and his wife, he and Charlie, move to Portland, where he goes to study in a seminary there, which apparently is the best one.
I'm assuming Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think so. Oh man, I should have checked that, but I didn't.
I'm assuming it's West Coast.
Yeah, it's definitely West Coast. He doesn't leave the West Coast.
Yeah, he's not going to Portland, Maine. That's my question.
So basically, he goes to seminary and he admits it's very difficult as a older person to learn a new language.
Learn multiple,
let alone multiple languages. While deciphering the Bible, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, well, because he's what? He's learning Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
He's learning what else?
I think Latin and Greek, he says.
Jesus. Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
And it's not like they're similar.
No.
It's not like, oh, I'm going to learn Spanish, French, and Portuguese. It's like, all right, well, that's all Latin-based.
Similar.
Like, Greek is violently different than Latin. And Latin and Hebrew are just...
way different.
They're different worlds.
So... I also just think it's funny that Charlie, like, I want to interview with Charlie. I want to know, because, like, every time Bob's like, so I have this big idea.
Yeah.
And Charlie's like, yeah, okay.
This one feels like more like I've received a message from the Lord.
You know what? He does not have that vibe.
No?
He doesn't. As part of my research, I listen to this other podcast. I don't usually listen to other podcasts as part of research because I like, you know, deep diving on the internet.
Yeah.
But there was a podcast that did an interview with Bob himself.
Oh, okay.
And before he passed away, it was called How I Built This with Guy Raz. I think it's an NPR.
Oh,
one.
I've heard that before. Yeah, yeah, that's actually a really good show. I listened to an episode a long time ago where they're talking about the guy who did the what's the edible flowers one?
Edible arrangements.
Edible arrangements. Yeah, they had a guy who did edible arrangements.
Yeah.
And he, like, him explaining, like, how basically, he was like, this is a very obvious idea. And everyone was like, you're an idiot.
You're a stupid idiot.
Yeah, he's like, it's just logistics and two websites. And they're like, fuck you.
Get out of here, man. So, yeah, Bob actually did an interview. It's called Bob's Red Mill, Bob Moore, on that thing. And the way he talks about it, this inspiration, he doesn't talk about it like somebody who's like, you know, the sky's open and God talked to me.
Yeah.
He just kind of seems like he's the kind of guy that walks through life and is open opportunity and wants to be doing stuff that's cool and interesting to him. So he was just like, yeah, I want to go try this. And why not? I have the funds. My kids are running the mill, and we'll do it. So
yeah,
they're up there. It's hard work, but he's doing it. And his wife's making it work. Hold on. Pause for Banky. And then they're out walking one day because they go for long walks pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And they happen to...
Because they're good people.
Because they're good people. They're just taking a walk. And they happen to come across an old feed mill that was for sale. So they're just walking through the woods. And
of
here's
course.
A huge mill.
Of course.
And Bob and his and Charlie
Bob.
See it.
Oh, yeah, what's that? That's an old mill. Oh, that's a good mill over there.
Well, so apparently Charlie was like, oh, look at that barn. And Bob's like, that ain't no barn. That's a mill. I know a mill when I see a mill. So
look at that small moon. That's not a moon.
That's quartz stone. I know he does not talk like that. Actually, the way that Bob talks is he speaks in the same cadence and tone as my pop-up did before he got brainwashed by Fox News. So it was like kind of emotional listening to it. It was like listening to my grandfather speak the way he used to talk before
Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly got their hooks into him.
Yeah, and I will never forgive Fox News for that. But
yeah.
Moving on, they call the number.
Oh, that's a good mill over there.
That's a good mill. So they call the number that's on the for sale sign.
Okay.
And the guy that they're talking to is like, oh yeah, that's the plot of land. And he's like, no, the mill. And he's like, oh, no, we're tearing that down. We're selling the land. He's like, don't you tear down that mill. I want to buy that mill.
Yeah, listen here, son. I want to buy that mill. I want that mill there. No, but we're going to tear it down. Then the land will be worth. But I don't want you to build.
I don't want to tear it down.
What
I
are you talking
about? Mill.
We're going to build track housing.
So he drove.
Track housing? You're going to sell each of those houses for $16,000? I'm going to build mill. We're going to grind corn and oats.
So he does. He leaves the seminary. They buy this mill.
Fuck you, God. I found a mill.
No, it's not. He believes that, you know, it was divine intervention. That God was telling him that his meaning in life is not to study in seminary. His meaning in life is to make whole grains for people.
I bet it was the weekend he read about the loaves and the fishes, too. And he was like,
Actually, he did quote the Bible in that interview on NPR.
Yeah.
And he talks about how, like, in the very beginning, in, like, Genesis, God tells humans, like, hey, I've given you all of the whole grains and the fruits, and this is what you are to eat. And so he feels it's his divine calling to bring these like things to people to consume, because that's what God wanted us to eat, was fruits and grain.
But you know, it also
like, I just heard myself say that, and I'm like, that is the tagline for so many culty weirdos we've heard before.
Yes.
And this time I'm just like, no, he just really wants to be a good person.
Yeah. No, he just happened to pick up one. He just happened to find the one where it's like, no, he didn't read it wrong.
No. He was just like, okay, yeah, that's what you're saying in there? That's what I'm going to do.
Look, the book just says to feed people.
I'm going
to
do that.
I'm going to feed people.
So they take a leap of faith.
It also tells you can't be fed by bread alone, Bob. You also need to be fed through a multi-level marketing scheme.
No, Bob doesn't do that. And so after a lot of conversation with Charlie, they decide to buy the mill, and they paint it bright red, and it becomes Bob's Red Mill Natural Foods.
Which is on the cover of all of the...
That's an actual picture of the facility.
Yeah, that is the facility. And there's Bob's on there, too,
right? Yeah, he's on there.
Yeah, so if you're ever in the grocery aisle and you're walking around, you'll see Bob's Red Mill. You'll see Bob looking back at you.
Yeah.
And the Red Mill is behind.
Yeah.
What color was it before?
I don't know. But it's like a real place, and it's a restaurant and a store.
What?
And so, like, we need to go there because I need to eat Bob's Red Mill hot cereal.
I feel
made
okay.
From Bob's Red Mills.
Okay, remember a long time ago when we did an episode and we found out that one guy...
Oh, the seafood restaurant.
The seafood restaurant. And then people reached out like, don't.
Don't go there.
No, like, it's fine, but
okay,
like,
guys,
don't.
Listen. If you've ever eaten at the Bob's Red Mill, like actual Bob's Red Mill,
yeah, let
us
know.
Is it worth the trip?
Yeah.
I'll go there.
Well, my only concern would be like, I know that they have gluten-free stuff, you know, like I know that, but I'm concerned... If you're too close to a wheat mill.
Yeah. Oh.
Like just in the air for you could be bad.
Yeah.
Because remember when you worked at that bakery for like that
little bit?
I
was so sick all the time.
Yeah.
It was just so sick all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. So 1978, Bob quickly put a plan in the action. Actually, it was 3 months. In 3 months, he got this shit up and running. The first thing he purchased was a $22 coffee pot. And from there... Which I feel like is a very expensive coffee pot for back then.
For back then,
I'm like, oh, what?
You can still get
an espresso machine back then.
Yeah, you can go to Walmart and get a $22 coffee pot today.
Piece of trash.
It's weird what inflation hasn't touched.
No, I think he bought the best coffee pot. He bought what would be like
$100. Oh, he didn't buy a Mr. Coffee.
No, I like in my mind, he bought like a $600 espresso machine that back then was $22.
Yeah.
Not the $22 Walmart special, the Mr. Coffee.
Okay.
That's how I played it in my mind.
Yeah.
So... They open the doors to Bob's Red Mill, and they get a lot of public media attention and interest from the community that's like lives around there.
Yeah,
people are really into it.
The local news is
the
like,
local,
what's up?
I
dude.
Swear to God, she talks about the local news a lot. Like,
really?
They really were like, "Yo, this is crazy." And Charlie worked the counter.
And meanwhile, Bob's kind of like a crazy Willy Wonka for grain.
Yes.
He just shows up. I heard you're going to turn this mill down now. We're going to make grain.
So Charlie's always working the register and the counter and explaining to people the different flour blends and like what you can do with all the things. And
that bleach shit out of here.
Charlie and Bob end up writing a cookbook based on a lot of Charlie's recipes for the whole grains.
Because she's into sourdough.
Yeah, she's... You know what? She's not just in the sourdough.
No, I know. But what I'm saying, though, is that I forgot that you planted that seed, pun intended, earlier.
Yeah.
When you were like, yeah, she got really into baking. And it's like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was weird that you brought it up. I thought it was more like a dig on influencers.
No.
But now I'm realizing that through your storytelling devices, you would put Chekhov's bread early in the story.
Yeah. So Bob bought millstones from a closed Oregon mill.
I can just picture.
And he also bought more stones from a mill in Indiana and Tennessee.
I can just picture Bob Walker and be like, you throw these out. These are perfectly good millstones right here. You're not going to finish that millstone? I'll take it.
He began producing multiple different types of stone ground flours and cereals. He has this one cereal. I think it's called the 10 grain cereal, and it's got all kinds of grains in it. It's very good. I've had the gluten-free version of it multiple times in my life. I'm a big hot cereal gal. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the podcast before, but I love a hot oatmeal in the morning.
Y'all, my wife is gross. I just want everybody to know.
I'm not gross. I love a hot
oatmeal. I can't tell you how often I've found a bowl of cereal that has been caked into a hard shell.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I had to have my hot cereal. Oh, gonna be late for the train. Runs out the door. And then I come down about 20 minutes later. And I'm like, what is this? And it's turned into cement.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, that's just floating around in her guts.
Listen, I just love a hot cereal. You know what I really like? It's a savory hot cereal. You make the oatmeal with like chicken broth and like sriracha, and you make it like spicy. It's so good. Anyway,
I'm a Kellogg's man. If it doesn't have an enema, I don't want it. I need enemas and death.
See, Kellogg, he was another one, religious and health food, but he went crazy.
I know. And now the company is currently being boycotted by everybody because they've been jacking up prices for no point.
Yeah.
People are
making Pop-Tarts at home. It is crazy world we live in. You're making Pop-Tarts. You know how time, like, oh my God. So anyway, Moore decides he's going to sell directly through the Bob's Red Mill, but he ends up making a deal with Fred Meyer's grocery stores, which is, I think, a West Coast grocery store.
I've heard of Meyer's,
Fred Meyer's, what they decided back then was that they wanted to do like little mini natural food stores within their grocery stores.
Yeah.
So they were like, Bob, we want to have your products. Do you think that we can, you know, can you make enough? And they're like, he's like, yeah, I got you. And eventually he goes to.
All I crush is flour and pussy.
Don't talk about Charlie that way. So then he goes to a convention. It's like a health food convention.
Okay.
Because I guess he was talking to other health food people. And they're like, listen, you're always going to be small time if you don't go to this convention and meet people. So him and Charlie are like, I guess we're going to this convention. So they're like, fill up a truck with a couple of each type of grounded flour that they have.
Yeah.
Which is a lot because they have so many different ones. They put them in the back of their car and they drive to like, I don't even remember. I didn't write it down, I don't think. They drive somewhere far away to go to this natural food convention to shake hands and network with other natural food people, which sounds not fun in my book. But they're incredibly successful. And they meet all these people. And they meet, distributors?
Yeah.
Well, actually, what he was saying was that they met people that came up to them and were like, we want to carry your stuff. Who's your distributor? And Bob's like, I don't have a distributor. What are you talking about?
I just got this truck.
Yeah. So that he's not that old timey. It's very funny that you keep making him that old timey.
No,
I
just want him to be.
I love it. So the people were at the convention were so excited about his product that they were like, you don't have a distributor? We'll get you one. Because there were distributors at the event. So they started calling their distributors at home and being like, you got to come over right now, or I'm putting you on a call with this guy. You need to call him tomorrow. And then like grabbing them in person. So this convention changed his life and really built up the company to what it is. Well, what it got to be. And then we get to 1988.
Okay.
Where annual sales start to approach $3 million.
Ooh.
So he's doing really well. Now, that original mill, remember the other mill that he left after he retired?
Yeah.
His son's still running that, and they're still using the flour that comes
from
that.
The Moore Mill.
The Moore Mill.
Yeah.
They're still using that as part of their new, larger distribution.
Yeah.
But guess what? The baby's crying because he heard it burns down.
Oh, the original one?
Yeah, the original one burns down because of arson.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a quick break? We'll get the baby calmed down. And when we come back, you're going to tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, we're back. The baby's had a bottle, and now I need to know who committed the arson on the original mill.
Okay, so here's the thing. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows?
Nobody knows. And Bob doesn't believe that it was like an angry ex-employee or anybody that he knew. He just kind of says, like, there's crazy people out there. And he doesn't elaborate. And I tried to find news articles about where it happened.
Yeah.
I couldn't find any information other than it was confirmed an arsonist, but nobody knows, or at least nobody said who it was. I couldn't find the name.
You know, it could have been.
What?
Could have just been a fireman.
That statistically is true.
Yeah. No, we had that around here. There was a long time ago, there was a guy around here who kept trying out to become a fireman.
Uh-huh.
And this is like early 2000s. He kept like applying and they kept rejecting him. And they're like, you don't pass any of our tests.
Mental wellness tests.
Any of them. Physical, mental, any of them. He's like, you will never be a fireman. And he was like, ah. So he started committing arson because his idea was if there's so many fires, they'll have to take anyone.
Smart.
Which is like the same logic they use in the military. Like when we're at war, we take like worse candidates because we're like, whatever, a body's a body. So like that was his view.
Yeah.
So he has been in prison for like years now, like 20 years, because he was like, I'm going to become a fireman.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't escape, did he?
No.
Wow. So not that smart. No,
So here's the thing. Failed the test. He can't climb a wall.
He can't climb the walls. So when there was the arsonist fire, the only things that didn't burn down, because it completely burned down, were the millstones. Because apparently a bunch of grain had fallen on the millstones after like a collapse, and the grains protected the millstones from the heat so the quartz didn't crack.
Oh, wow.
So they were the only thing that survived.
I'm sure the silos probably exploded and all that other stuff too, because of all the gas and everything that builds up and silos like famously explode.
Yeah, big fire, big scary fire.
Yeah.
Bob did say that, like, I guess when the fire department did show up, the firefighters were like, oh, listen, we only have so much water and time.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere specific you want us to aim these hoses? And so he walked them to the side where the millstones were and was like, just here. Like, if we could just save the millstones.
Yeah.
Because I guess they just knew that there was really a lost cause because it's a barn full of grain. Like, it's going to go.
It's dried grain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the couple rebuilt the factory in their warehouse that was basically across the road. They had another warehouse.
Okay.
If you do go back and listen to the Bob's podcast I talked about, the NPR one, he talks more about like the inspiration for rebuilding, like where maybe somebody else had been like, okay, we're cutting our losses. We already have this other mill.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. But it was really nice. Basically, it's very sentimental. He had a lot of employees that work there.
He didn't want to abandon the town.
One of which was like this guy who worked for him for 10 years. And he had met a lady who worked at the local bank where they did all the business for the mill at that bank. And they had fallen in love. And I don't want to give it all away, but like it just shows that like Bob is a good person who like he realized that like if they didn't rebuild the mill, it was going to affect so many people outside of himself.
He wasn't just looking at returning the dividends investment to his shareholders and to himself and extracting wealth.
No.
He was looking at how those jobs actually, like, he actually is a job creator.
Yeah, exactly.
He actually, like, Bob is actually a good capitalist, is what you're telling me?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Yeah.
Where's this man been? Why isn't he in all of our history books?
I don't know, but we're going to put him in it in the history books today. So then in 1991, we're getting closer.
I don't want to get closer because I know how the story ends.
Oh, no. By 1991, they are one of the only mills and first mills to offer specialty grains and cereals. Mm-hmm. They are the first people to really build an in-house laboratory that tests their products to certify that they're organic and gluten-free.
Oh, wow. That's actually, like, very big, especially the organic side of things, because with organic, like, there's been a long talk for a very long time about, like, what is organic,
mm-hmm.
and, like, there isn't, like, an FDA certification for that. Yeah. You can kind of put a label on it, but I trust Bob. If Bob says it's organic.
If Bob says organic and gluten-free, I'm listening.
Okay.
So then in 96, he does take on some partners to help pay off some debts.
I want to point out, he retired 22 years
ago. He retired so long ago, Bob did.
Yeah.
To go join the priesthood of some sort. So he takes on some partners to help pay off debts that happened from that fire.
Yeah.
In the rebuild. But he picks people that aren't really, like, hands-on, and he doesn't pick what are the companies that keep buying
private equity.
It's not private equity.
Yeah, not vulture, not venture or vulture capitalists.
Not venture capitalists. It's a couple guys. I think they still sit on the board of directors to this day.
Yeah.
In 2005, it is estimated that Bob's Red Mill's annual revenue is over $30 million.
Okay.
Anywhere between $30 million and $50 million. And that's in 2005.
And he's not using this to fund purchasing an island or building a temple to raise the spirits of alien dead. None of this.
No, none of that. Sorry.
He's just reinvesting it into the community?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What a fucking weirdo.
On this podcast, he's doing what?
He's doing what? He's doing good boy shit?
So,
Bob Moore out here doing good boy shit.
In 2007, Bob and the rest of the company announces that they are moving the administrative headquarters to a bigger, newer facility that can triple the company's manufacturing capacity. By 2008, at that point, the Bob's Red Mill products are now available in Japan, Canada, and South Korea. And they're expanding across the globe and because they have such great distribution at this point.
Take note, Bert from Bert's Bees, you big bitch. Hope you sitting in that chicken coop by yourself.
He is so unbothered. Bert is having a great time.
Sitting in that old truck with your dog, not giving back to nobody, selling your shit to Clorox.
Bitch. So in 2010, this is the height. It's 2010.
Yeah.
He's expanded globally. They're making millions and millions of dollars. Bob transfers ownership of the company to his employees using an employee stock ownership plan.
He made it a co-op?
Yeah. So the entire company is owned, 2/3 is owned by the employees themselves.
Let's go.
Bob, like you're saying, we're not running a cult. We're not trying to get all the money out of the people that are, you know, partaking in our grains. He's taking the money and he's giving it back to his employees. Actually,
he didn't kill Steve Jobs. Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Actually, he came out and said that in his, like, final years of life, he's been really giving his money away to lots and lots of charities, like his personal wealth.
Yeah.
Not the company's wealth, the personal wealth.
Yeah.
The company, however, Bob's Red Mill, actually is heavy into charity. And because being a nonprofit girly, hashtag burnout, is that I do always look at, like, what people are doing foundationally.
Yeah, what's your charitable giving looking like?
And they're, like I said, heavy into charity. They're giving out money and food to almost anyone that asks them. They support the Oregon Food Bank, the Good Roots Food Bank. They support the Urban Growers Collective, which is a Black and women-owned led organization that aims to address inequities and structural racism that exists within the food system and communities of color. They support a nonprofit called Emma's Torch, which provides culinary training to refugees, asylum seekers, and survivors of human trafficking to help them find meaningful careers in the food industry. They work with a nonprofit called Abernic Cur, which offers short-term crisis psychiatric care and community-based outpatient services for children and teens facing mental health challenges. And they provide food to Portland Rescue Mission, which assists communities struggling with hunger, homelessness, and addiction. Bob's Red Mills offers hundreds of nutritious meals every day to those in need. And that's only the ones that were on their website. Fuck. That go through the company. That's not Bob himself is giving away his money because I believe he's one of those people that's like, I can't take it with me.
I'm not
hoarding it.
Yeah.
So like,
and my third son doesn't talk to me anyway.
Yeah, we don't know what he's doing. I cannot find him. I looked.
Listen, this is incredible.
Yeah.
This is like, fuck, dude. Like, I like less about Elon, less about Jeff, right?
I want to talk about Bob.
I don't want to hear about Bill.
And
I want to hear about
Charlie.
Yeah, I want to hear about Bob and Charlie
holding
taking
it down.
Long walks, saving mills.
By 2018, the company's annual revenue is estimated at over $100 million.
Fucking yes.
So, in 2018,
good boy shit.
When the value is high, the employees own it. We're helping the community. We're providing delicious grains to a global audience at this point. Bob Moore and Charlie retire yet again in 2018.
Like 40 years later.
He retired and then got incredibly successful for 40 years.
He got retired. Oh, I feel that, Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
Bob, I did the same thing when it came to stand-up. I quit stand-up. I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to live in this little apartment and just work a corporate job.
Yep.
And then one day they were like, yeah, but you're real good at yelling.
You're so good at yelling, they said.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Bob's out here like, I like watching stuff get crushed by stones.
I like specific stones.
Yeah, give me a big old crushed wheel. Remember we took the dog to that one mill out here.
Yeah.
And they had a really big one.
And they had the horse and carriage.
Yeah, they showed the old way they used to do with horse and carriage, but also like the windmill and all that different stuff. It's crazy.
Wild.
Some of these mills, like you think about them, but then once you actually go in them, you're like, this is massive. Like, this is big, scary machine level stuff. So the fact that he's also like going around being like, steel? We don't need steel. I'll get that stone for a steal. I'm gonna keep the Northwest open. Let people around here love to do heroin. I'm also gonna get them into grain.
That's not nice.
I don't know why he talks like that.
So, what was I thinking? Oh, so they retire again in 2018, and in 2024, this year, Bob passes away at the age of 94.
Wow.
So I'm saying, though, this is all life lived. This is a full life, a long life. Eat your oatmeal, eat your grains. He's living to 94.
Honestly, like, that he's finally the one. Like, we're always like, why do these old fucks live forever? These evil bastards. And then Bob's out here like, nah, we got to rebuild the mill, man. We got to rebuild the mill. If we don't rebuild the mill, then Steve and Carol's relationship's going to fall apart. And I was there for their wedding.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that shit that doesn't work in a boardroom.
Yep.
That shit that doesn't work. You know, I think it's also because he kept Wall Street away.
Always.
I think he said
in that interview that multiple companies came to knock down his door and offered him lots and lots of money to buy him out.
Yeah.
He said for like weekly, someone was calling, emailing, or coming in person.
Yeah.
Trying like, you know, the Cloroxes, the so-and-sos are coming to try to buy him out.
Well, it's authenticity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is a thing about their packaging that I will say that, like, I always thought, until hearing this story, I actually thought it was bullshit. Like, the way the packaging is put together, I've always been like, eh, it feels like you're paying a little bit extra
for vibes.
For vibes.
Down-home vibes?
Yeah.
No, the packaging is real.
And Bob is real.
Bob is real. And
Charlie was real.
And Charlie, listen.
Charlie is real.
She's still real.
She's still real.
And, hold on, I'm going to show you a picture of them.
Okay.
This is them out front of their mill with the restaurant.
Oh, my God.
Aren't they the cutest?
Shut the fuck up.
They're so cute.
Oh, I love them.
So, yeah, anyway, I think I did it. I found
the nicest man
in the world, and we did a little, we had a podcast where nobody got scammed.
And I got to hit the no Nazi button, and it worked?
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. Well, I love it. This is a good episode.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob Moore, Charlie Moore. Thank you for being awesome people.
You know what's great, too, is like the baby kept freaking out. I'm like, it's because these aren't evil people. The baby's not used to us hearing us discuss people who aren't bags of shit.
Yeah.
So you're like, no, they were just really nice. And like, there is a classic car.
Yeah.
Like, so cool.
They're just having a time.
They look like the sweetest grandparents.
Yeah, they're just vibing.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So what a fun episode.
That was a great
episode.
I was so excited
because I kept... As I was like opening all the tabs and doing all this research, I'm like, man, when I find the bad thing, it's going to crush me at this point.
Yeah.
Like,
and you never found it.
I never found it.
Unless he just took it to his grave.
Maybe, but I doubt it. I don't think so.
I know. I just want to hit the button.
I think he was a beloved person in his community.
I think he was too.
Who found a book at a library and changed his life to the point where he passed away being valued at $100 million and a hero of his, every city he ever lived in.
Not valued at $100 million. With $100 million revenue, that he was bringing into these small towns,
yeah,
that he was personally rebuilding, and that now his grains are sold all over the world.
Yep.
He's feeding nations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Library.
I bet you in his world, he's probably like, you know, this is all because of the power of Christ. But
I think he does.
Yeah, but you're like, no, this is the power of library.
This is the power of library.
This is the power of library right here.
Yeah.
If you had to pay for that book, you wouldn't have read it. Think about this. If somebody walked up to you and they're like, hey, I got a book here. What's that about? It's John Gough's Mill.
Yeah.
What the fuck's that about? This archaeologist buys a mill. I don't want to pay for that.
I don't want
it. It's free.
All right. What else am I doing?
All right. Well, Mrs. P, that was a great... Great lore dump. We are going to go give our big shout outs now to all our Patreons. So stick around if you're a new Patreon or if you just want to hear a little bit extra lore that we usually like to toss in about ourselves.
A little sprinkles on top of the ice cream.
Every now and then people hear things about us.
A little chalky chip in the muffin.
Yeah. So we'll be right back.
Pearlmania, 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 Pearlmania.
500.net, as we've been saying throughout the episode, is where you can go if you want to sign up to become a Patreon. And we have a bunch of them this week.
Let's go.
We have 14 names we're going to go down for right now and say,
hey, hon, let's meet our team leaders.
All right, we're going to start off with Moonkey.
Oh, it's like monkey but with moves.
Yeah, I like that. Hon. After that, we have Amanda Morrison.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Elizabeth Staples.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Isabel Lawston.
Let's go, Isabel. Hey, hon.
After that, we have the other Sarah.
Oh, the other Sarah.
No, you know what? You're not the other Sarah.
You're our Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah. after that, we have the in-law, Josie Wales.
The in-law?
I love that. I saw that. So sometimes when we get... when people sign up or send us messages, we'll get email notifications. It's like one of the few post notifications I have on just because I like it. It's a little dopamine hit. Bing. Oh, somebody joined our Patreon. That's nice. And when I see certain names, when I saw the in-law Josie Wells, I'm like, I can't wait to say that one. That one feels good.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Brittany _ not _ Spears.
Not Britney Spears.
We gotcha.
Hey, hon.
But fuck Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Not Brittany Dawn either.
You told me recently that...
The dog. They found the dog.
They
it's
found another dog.
Thing.
But yeah, you were telling me about it, but it was like a dog that she had rehomed years ago.
So here's the thing.
Ago.
Brittany Dawn, if you've listened to past episodes, we did an episode on Brittany Dawn. Or no, that was on our TikToks.
We've never done an episode actually about Brittany Dawn.
No, it was all TikToks.
One of the first major TikToks that I had go viral that was you and me talking was about Brittany Dawn. And that was the one where so many commenters were like, you guys need to do
a podcast.
You
guys should do a podcast talking about this kind of stuff. Yeah. So anyway, Brittany Dawn, a scammer, crazy person.
Yeah.
She, over the course of her history of being an internet influencer, she likes to get dogs that go with her vibe. So like when she was in her Utah era, she got one of those poodle mixes that everybody gets. What are they called? Oh. The brown poodle. Doodle. Yeah,
yeah,
the doodle.
Doodle.
So she got, when she was in her Utah era.
Golden doodle.
Golden doodle. And then there was a time where she was like being into a fitness influencer and she was trying to like fit in with all the gym boys.
Yeah.
And so she had gotten a pit bull.
Yeah.
And so there's multiple dogs anyway. Backstory. Anyway, she decided that the pit bull wasn't, you know, she says that she couldn't handle the work or the dog was too high strung or something.
Yeah.
maybe she just needed it. She was trying to change her image again. I don't know. Who knows? But so she was supposed to put the dog up for adoption, allegedly. But the company that was going to put it up for adoption says she never showed up.
The adoption company never heard
from her. Never got the dog.
Yep.
And then someone else said that she listed the dog as like for pickup on Craigslist.
Okay.
And then it was never seen again. But anyway, someone found the dog really sickly on the side of the road.
But this was 4 or 5 years
later.
4 or 5 years
later.
Yeah. So there's a lot of time has passed between.
There was a microchip. So anyway, they tracked it back down to Brittany Dawn. And I was just like, there's no way Brittany Dawn is back in my feed for hurting animals yet again. But this one was like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Like it was a few feet away from
this her. Dog had a glancing Brittany Dawn relationship.
Yeah.
And then the one thing I will say with rehoming, I'm always proud of anyone to rehome because it is difficult. It is hard to realize that.
And have to it's hard to admit and then take the steps that like, hey, this isn't working for me and my family.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. But I think for her, it was just like, she uses animals aesthetically.
No, she does. She's a bag of shit.
Yeah. Hey, hun.
Oh, yeah. Hey, to Brittany Knott Spears.
We really went off.
After that, we have Ewok Goblin of the Alleged Verse.
Oh, hey, hun.
I'm going to try that again. Ewok Goblin of the Alleged Verse. I like the Alleged Verse.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. After that, we have Sierra Milliken.
Hey, hun.
After that, we have K-Sway.
K-Sway.
After that, we have Haley.
Haley. Hey, hon.
And after that, we have the redheaded siren.
Oh, hey, hon.
Hello. And finally, we have two returning members who sent me messages. Let me know they were back. We have Nobo the Gnome was broke, but she's back, baby. __.
Hey, girl. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Nobo. And then finally, we have I_finally_have_have_enough_money_2_join_my_fave_MLM.
You too can be a leader in our not pyramid scheme.
Yep.
For just pennies a day.
Yeah, honestly, if you work it out, $5 a month.
Pennies a day. You too can bully Alex into literacy.
You can bully me into literacy and possibly more.
There will be lotions and shampoos that make your hair fall out later.
Yep.
But not yet.
And we'll be having polls coming up soon, as well as some other treats that we were actually attempting. I'm going to admit it to it now.
Yeah.
I was attempting to do some things during this episode that turns out I'm glad I didn't announce.
Yep.
Because we are going to have even more coming to the Patreon soon.
Listen, we are making
content. Once I can figure out how to do it.
We are making content. We're doing things. We're changing stuff. It's season two, babe.
It's season two. We're trying to pass the time for you in a way that doesn't suck. That's kind of what we're trying to do.
That's our whole thing.
But thank you to all the patrons. But more importantly, also, thank you to all of just the regular listeners, the people who listen to us across all podcasts. Thank you guys so much for your continued support and everything else. And we will see you next week with another fun episode with someone who I guarantee you the story will not be about someone as nice.
It's probably not.
Historically, that has not been true.
Probably not.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.